herself. And Maria's so fucking sick of hearing from men telling her how weak she is that she needs another man to speak for her. Like, if you guys don't ever tell that to her, because she'll slap you. All right, but that's how she's painted out, not only by Steve, but by everybody, right? And now I'm the controlling Svengali that is controlling her. For what purpose, I don't know. You know, it's not like she has money. There's nothing I'm trying to get from her, but apparently this is what I'm painted out. There's one more important thing after that, before I forget. It's really important. Lori, the woman, she took out the garbage once. Well, she was one more than once, but there was this one time. I think it was Saturday. There were three bags.
Lori's the one who passed away.
Yes. She took out three bags of black garbage. And I wasn't, this is told to me by Marie, so it's secondhand. Marie will tell you the full story much better than me. And Marie felt something was wrong, or something suspicious, because she was watching the bags from upstairs, which she thought was weird. So Marie said, "I'll just take these bags out." And Marie and Lori was trying to tell her, "No, don't do it, I'll do it." And he's like, "No, it's okay, I'll take him out." And I think Marla goes with her, I don't remember. She goes outside, she opens the garbage, and in garbage bag A are my files from when I was in Cook County Foster Care. It's a stack like this big that I got from when David was doing my background. And so we got all this stuff from Cook County in Chicago. And it's a huge stack of papers of my whole entire childhood and the misery of it all. Included in that is a notebook that I wrote in, like, poems and songs from, like, when I was, like, 16 or 17, you know. And there was another screenplay that was really terrible, a shitty screenplay I wrote. I don't know why she chose that. But you had to go to get this file. You had to know where they were. They were in my library, and you have to, like, go and grab them. It was not something that was accessible, right? Now, bag number two was the same thing, but for Marlo. It was Marlo's school assessments, all the teacher assessments, all his grades, everything he's ever gotten in from school is all in this one dossier sort of thing. Mm-hmm. In the third bag, there wasn't anything interesting. She said there might have been something, but not like this, something else. And so Marie flipped out, you know, what this means. I still don't know what this means.
Weird.
It's very strange.
So she was taking out the trash, but it hadn't gone all the way yet.
No, she was going to steal them. So she was pretending, this is how she was going to get the papers out, in the garbage cans, in the garbage bags, and then pretend that she was...
So the garbage bag was staged.
Yes, it was staged. And that's why maybe she was going to her car all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and we found out that she did steal some shit from us, which is funny.
Yeah, what did she steal?
Funny enough, the crystal jewelry. I shit you not, dude. She stole the fucking crystal jewelry that Marla made. Yes. Okay, so that's the short version. Yeah? Cleaning up. Yeah, and then I got, actually, yesterday, I got a text from Rocco, who's the guy, the film.
The ex-Vice
News guy. He said, he did some background on Lori, and he said that she was Rocco. Okay. It's Lori Roth, date of birth, 1/17/1960. She has an extensive criminal history, breaking and entering, distribution and trespassing. If your neighbor was watching Marlo and claiming he had bruises around the times we were shooting, I can refute that with footage. Okay, let's... Yeah, she claimed that he had bruises and a black eye. That Marlo had a fucking black eye. Never. He never had bruises other than falling off his bicycle, you know, his scraped knee.
What did the judge finally decide on Monday?
The judge said, okay, right. So I want to see this Val person. Can we please see Val? And so Marie calls me in. I sit down. I don't say a word because our lawyer says don't talk. So I listen to the lawyer. And she looks at me. There's a pause for like 3 or 4 seconds. And she says, I'm going to recommend that the child does not see Val Brooksmith at all and has minimum visits with the mother. Minimum visits. Minimum. Like the bare minimum that they have, that they could give away, a few hours, 3 days a week, you know.
Is there a deadline as to when that expires, or when they go back to court?
Nope, we have no paperwork, we have nothing. I have no paperwork from anyone, no one from fucking DCFS, from the courts, nothing.
Can you tell me on September 29th, you guys have a follow-up hearing where they'll make a more firm decision, or is that...
Yeah, so on September 15th, I thought that was, according to, if it's not, is when the investigator has to hand in his paperwork. And then the next trial date is the 29th. And if there's no amicable decision made, October 1st is the real trial, like a trial, where people get witnesses, and, like the television or something. So, yeah. So that's, all right, the short version. It's pretty crazy. It's like the cop said, he's like, dude, you got hit with a double whammy. Mm-hmm. Like, a double whammy. And that's been stuck in my head ever since. He was very right. It was a double fucking triple whammy. Sorry. Excuse my language.
How often are the film crews around? Just out of curiosity.
Not anymore. So they filmed, David Enrich, you know, he tried to get a film deal during this whole thing, very unethical, and he held on to, you probably don't want to hear any of this shit, but I'll tell you anyway, because it's so fucking politically, if you're like Tim and Jam, you don't want to hear it. But Trump has these loans with Deutsche Bank, right? And David sat on them for a very long time. And I'm like, why did you sit on them? He said, well, Deutsche Bank told me they were fake. I'm like, no, listen to what Deutsche Bank told me. He has a deal set up with Deutsche Bank, with a guy named Jürgen, I forgot his last name, but he's the head of the PR. It's the, you know, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Like, for example, when Tom Bowers, remember Tom Bowers? Tom Bowers was Rosemary Vrbalek's boss at DBTCA. Rosemary Vrbalek was Trump's private banker at Deutsche Bank. So he died, and he died. His death was very suspicious. It was suicide. He hung himself in Malibu, similar to my father, you know, very similar. And then the coroner, there was a huge problem with the body. We couldn't get the police report because the body had melted mysteriously on Christmas Day, and they shipped it to Virginia for some reason. And that's, so we can't, it's the cause of death, it's, no one can tell anymore. Very fucking weird, right? Of all the bodies in the world, of all the deaths in the world, this is death that is, No evidence. You know. It's just fucking strange. So, and that was the last time I spoke to Jim and Tammy as well. I bring up Tom Bowers because, why did I bring up Tom Bowers? Oh, because he knows about the loans, right? That was David's source. And I know that because David told me all the sources. And then when he died, David tweeted out, it was a sad day, Tom Bowers died today, so he's a good man, he's got a family, etc. But left out the most important bit, suicide, right? Because he has a deal with Deutsche Bank, they said, do not mention the suicide. So it was myself and Scott Stedman. Well, I told Scott about it, and Scott is a Twitter, forensic news, he runs this thing called forensic news. It's like a Twitter phenomenon. He's like 20 years old, he's got a million followers, because he handles the Trump-Russia thing really well. So I tell him the story, and he gets on, he's a genius with public information. You can find anything in the public domain, and he gets the cause of death. And then we do a story about the cause of death. And now we're in a battle against David, as I've been since that fucking article came out. Sorry, that's, I don't know why I felt that was important for you guys to know.
So you said David was
sitting on the Trump. Yeah,
sitting on the Trump. But then forensic news, did they have their own? I mean, I guess the Deutsche Bank data, it seems like you shared it with Tim.
I did. I gave it to Tim and Jeremy.
And then David also had a copy of it?
No, I never gave David full. No. I did not. No. I gave him a selective amount of documents.
But then it had the Trump data in there, right?
No.
Didn't. So how did David know about
the... Tom Bowers.
Okay.
There you go. Now, if you remember, there was a guy, he's a pundit, he's like a liberalish, not Chris Matthews, but I can't remember his name. But he went on the air one night and said, ladies and gentlemen, breaking news, I have the Trump loan documents from the Russian banks. And they are very well, very much exactly what you thought, you guys all thought. Stay tuned, et cetera, et cetera. Next day, he says, ladies and gentlemen, I have to retract my statement from the other night. I don't have them. Turns out they were fraudulent. And so, what the fuck? And Deutsche Bank's lawyers got a hold of this guy. He's a famous name. I just can't. It's not coming to my mind. But and told him that these are fraudulent documents, and if you do the story, we're going to fucking sue the shit out of you. You're never going to work again. And that's when he got scared and he backed out. Now, there are some fraudulent documents out there. I've seen them on Scrib. They're terrible frauds, but these aren't the ones. These are different documents.
Right. Fraudulent documents ignored.
Not in my data set.
Just Deutsche Bank.
My data set's grown substantially since 2014, but it's not from my data set.
Okay.
Like no one's talking about it. I'm trying to think of the best way that we can help you. There's a couple options right now that we already kind of talked about a little bit as far as the investigator goes, right? What are the allegations against you? I mean, I know we've talked about all of them, but do you have like summary of like obviously the lack of food, having cell phones everywhere?
Yeah, I don't really know what the allegations are, other than drug addicts. You know, but it's easy to call me a drug addict. I am very open about my past.
Right.
You know, I've taken drugs.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a big deal.
You're not on drugs now because you said you
need
a drug test.
Yes.
So that should probably solve itself, right? I mean,
it should, but it doesn't. It didn't. Because then our lawyer says don't take any drug tests. Don't talk to them. If they call, you hang up. If they're at the door, you don't open it. We're like, okay, fine.
And why is he recommending that
they said? I don't know. Well, he's the lawyer. I just decide he knows more than me, so I trust him blindly until yesterday. Mike Kretzmer, yes. So that's what I did, and that was stupid of me, very fucking stupid of me. And Marie did the same thing, and if I had not trusted him, Marie would not have trusted him.
So he also gets drug tested through her work, you said?
Yes, randomly, yes.
Yeah, I would imagine that it wouldn't be a huge issue because Marie already got a drug test.
Right. She can, and it's perfectly okay to go with your own doctor because you don't trust these DCF people and get your own fucking drug test overseen by a doctor, and your doctor will hand it to you. That's fine too. I read it online. But the Saba woman would not allow that. She didn't want that. And I also said, no, Saba, and I have it on the table. Saba, I said I was willing to take a drug test. I didn't say I was going to be there at 3:30 in Beverly Hills on fucking Friday. That I did not say. He goes, well, you know that if you don't take a test, it's gonna. That means that you are called, quote, dirty, they call it. I'm like, well, you know that's a bunch of bullshit. It's a lie. Why would you do that? That's just the way it is.
Did she schedule you one in Beverly Hills?
She said anytime between 9 and 5 on a Friday, yes, in Beverly Hills. And then we're both ready to go until Thursday night before police come. And then we're pissed off. And we're like, you know what? It's enough.
Right. And then on top of that, Mike recommends not.
Yes. Yes. So it's like, you know, we weren't even supposed to call her and say no. But we pick up the phone. We're stupid to even talk to her. But this woman it's like, something's wrong. Something's really wrong. We don't know what it is. I know what I don't know, which is a substantial. Do you guys know anything you can... that I don't know. What can you help me with this? What is happening?
I was going to ask about the investigator. Whoever the investigator is, okay. Is they scheduled for when there's a visit, or can they show up at any time in this period?
I don't know. I don't know. I have no idea. No one's told me anything. Even Mike the lawyer is supposed to be the greatest ever. He told me shit. We fired him yesterday.
Right. So. Interesting. Do you guys have plans for another lawyer, or...
Well, that's what I was going to find out today, see what you guys can do. And if you could save us, you know, $15,000, it would be great. But I'm trying to, I have to gauge what you can do and to see if I need a lawyer. That's why my thing is right now. So not only you're gauging me, but I'm gauging you the same thing.
It's a tough call. Like, we're not going to send an FBI lawyer to represent me.
I know.
The things we can, I mean, if it's a question of money, sometimes we can get you some money, but obviously that can't.
No, we can, you know, obviously we're not wealthy, but we can do this.
Yeah, I remember what you were saying, and I mean, you actually do well for yourself. You said trade and whatnot.
So. Yeah, I mean, I've lost more than I made, but yeah, I guess. You know, yeah, don't tell Marie.
Doing the last few more.
I know.
Actually, I've been, that's probably my best, diamond crisis.
So there's that type of stuff.
Yeah.
The other thing that we talked about too is, right, we have to keep our relationship secret.
Yeah.
That's the only way that we can work. So if, you know, I call a shot stopper or something like that and say, hey, what's the deal? So like, well, who the hell are you and why do you want to know?
Sure.
Get this small one, right?
Okay.
So our ability to help you is going to be limited in scope.
Right.
Like we talked about, it's likely going to be something where
No, I like an electronic cigarette thing. I just can't hear that. Are you going to now smoke electronic?
Yeah.
Really? Inside? But it's not real.
I know.
So the main thing that we were talking we would be able to help with is, like, everything is going forward, right? We can't change what's going on in the past, right? Because we can't change what, you know, Saba has said or what your neighbors have said or Steve has said,
sure.
Right? But going forward, we can help you with the investigator, right? Because the investigator is going to assess you and Marie to see if you guys are suitable parents. So those are things that we can't help with.
Okay.
I'm trying to think there are other avenues that we might be able to do.
I made a whole list of stuff. I've been studying law for like a week, okay? I'm not a lawyer, but I figured there's some things that they've done very illegally, all right? Due process still exists, even in that court, all right? Even though some lawyers say no, some lawyers say yes, it does exist. We read online on reputable law websites. They're not supposed to invite themselves in and walk in. They did. This woman... It's clearly, the lies are so ridiculously, there's so many, too many lies. And the only reason for that is to paint a picture because you have an agenda. Why she has this agenda, why she wants to destroy me or Marie, I don't know. I mean, I get it. I've encountered people like this before. I don't know why they do it, but they want to do it. It's either, Marie always says everyone's too jealous, you know. I don't think it's jealousy. I think it's something else. I don't know what it is. But there's some reason that she wants us destroyed. What I've learned is that this system, just the DCFS, is very corrupt. They know each other. It's incestual. They all know each other. This guy that worked there, our lawyer, Kretzmer, he was threatening Marie. Okay, when we left, he fucking threatened her and said, you know what, if you don't get Val, because I was calling him out, I said, why don't you do this? If you don't get Val to stop acting like a bully and know everything, you're going to have to make a choice between your son and Val. We have that on tape, too.
Okay.
You got to hear this fucking tape. It's crazy.
Okay. So, because full disclosure, too, like,
yeah.
I've dealt with this and other cases that are similar to yours.
With DCFS?
With
DCFS?
In Texas.
Oh, okay.
Some organizations. But we don't... The thing is, I'm not an expert either, right? Like, we've worked with some things in the past that have, you know, the successful stuff, and we actually got some good work out of it. Everything turned out fine. So that's my experience with it. But I'm not an expert in custody law and how processes work. I learn something new every day. So the primary issue I see is this. Like, if we're going to help, right?
Okay.
Is how we're going to help and be effective in our job, but also be effective for you.
Sure.
So, trying to uncover a conspiracy with Saba makes a difference. Like, I mean,
yeah. I don't think
there's some weird stuff going on, but that's what I'm saying is that if the investigator does his job properly or her job properly, they should see that you guys are successful parents who can help raise Marlo in a very productive way.
But here's the thing. Any competent person, whether you're a DCFS or a police officer or anyone that is trained to deal with people, can delineate a sane person from an insane person, right? You should be able to do that. Now, when you meet Patil and you read her shit, she's obviously fucking nuts, right? Sorry for this clinical term, but she's fucking nuts. She's out there. And for Saba, I know is able to determine the difference between sane and not sane. So she purposely, I suspect that she's a smart person, that she purposely included this woman's testimony for a reason. He's against us. Because she must know that she's fucking nuts. They're using her. It's sad for this woman. You know, I'm not that sympathetic for her anymore because she's did it, but it's, you know what I mean? Like, there's, I'm not saying conspiracy, but that's a very strong word. Yeah.
So you're saying that she's clinically insane, right? She has schizophrenia or bipolar.
Maybe not insane, but, you know, that's an exaggeration. Mentally unstable, for sure.
Okay.
Classic bipolar. I'm willing to bet you anything you'll find bipolar medication.
But just for reference, right?
Okay.
We probably wouldn't want to make that claim, right?
You would, yes.
Because,
oh, you would not.
Because if it's, one, easy to tell that someone is clinically insane, and two, you know that she's insane. And three, why would you give custody to her for several hours a week?
Because we didn't know at the time.
It just hurts itself, right? So like, right, you didn't know at the time. Right. You same argument to be made with, you
good
know,
point.
The investigator. So that's an avenue I think would be dangerous more for you than anything else, right?
So we get her to retract her statement.
Well, here's the thing. So, again, are we going to go over there and, like, break her arm if they have to retract the statement? Like, you know,
okay, yeah, I'm ready to go to the Armenian. I'm like, let's go find the Armenians. They handle this shit, right?
Luckily or luckily for you, the FBI doesn't do that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we are on the side of good.
I'm joking.
You know, we're not going to let influence people in that way. Yeah. It's just not how we work. So, and like I told you on the phone, I'll be honest with you. What we can and what we can't do, I'm not going to make up a story for you to say, like, oh, we can turn the world around immediately for you right now.
No, I know. I don't expect that.
But I'm trying to work with you to see what avenues we can best help with. So, like I said, the best thing that I can think of right now is influencing how you're perceived. And not in a negative way, not in a way that's illegal or anything, but just saying, like, hey, if you have these issues, if you have, they say, oh, there's, you know, not enough food in the house, maybe we just show receipts. You get an Amazon delivery every week or something like that.
Yeah, we have the receipts.
Yeah, exactly. So we have all those things would be easily refuted by evidence that you can show. Right?
Exactly.
And there's no evidence that the FBI is helping you, or, you know, if we give you money to do that, that's just cash that you'd have, right?
Sure.
So all those things are ways that we can help your view in the court's eyes. Because what we've talked about, too, and what we talked about on the phone is that it's very rare that they take custody completely away from the parent. It can happen in very extreme cases, but at least the ones that I've been involved in, the judge almost always favors, and like we talked about, the mom almost more than the father, for whatever reason.
I believe that you believe that, but what I've read and studied in the last few days about this specific system in Los Angeles and these people, it's not that. It's the opposite. They give it to the perpetrator. They give it to the person that has the most money or the person that's been doing the fake calls. Because this is obviously you can imagine this is a tool used in many, many divorces.
That's the complicated part.
Right.
And I have no experience in this, but just, you know, you've had experience in the past in Houston, like, this is complicated part. It's not just a child welfare situation.
Right.
There's
divorce.
A divorce.
Yeah.
It's weaponized. They weaponized DCFS for divorce. It's terrible, but that's what's happening. And they know it. And they're using it. They're making a lot of money, the fucking lawyers and the judges. Like, for example, Saba makes $120,000 a year. Her supervisor makes $210,000. Public records. That's a lot of money for DCFS, right? And they have the other $80,000. What's other? Where did that $80,000 come from? Overtime. $60,000. Overtime. And $25,000. Other. $90,000. So, what the fuck? Is that normal? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, I'm just saying it's suspicious to me. But yeah, I don't know. Well, what can you do? What can you do? Like, what is in your power, and what's not?
We have to do some more research because the issue is what we can do would make it overt also, right?
Also, you don't have a rebuttal yet either. We wrote it on the piece of paper, the PDF thing with like this thing we put sticky notes on the like fake sticky notes on a digital thing. Can't find it anywhere. It only took 2 days to write it, and now we can't find the sticky notes. We have to write it again. So we will get you that. We will get you that. And I haven't uploaded all the evidence yet, like the all the recordings that we have, and all the video recordings, audio and video.
So the last time I checked, I didn't see anything.
Every time. Sorry?
The last time I checked the email address, I didn't see anything, but that was before I left. So
you didn't see anything?
No. I sent it to you. I sent it to that email address on Sunday night.
Yeah. And I
checked on Monday. I didn't get anything yet. But
you know, there should be. I sent you like a shitload of stuff last night.
Okay.
Last
night?
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't checked it.
Okay.
I've been flying in a year, so I've been
writing. It's okay. I sent you a text saying, "Oh, I'm sorry. I just saw this now."
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I haven't checked whatever it is you sent.
Okay. Good. Okay. It's you got a lot. There's a lot of reading in there. Let's see. But you've read the report, though?
I don't have... If you sent the report in that group, I haven't read it yet.
Like their report?
No. So, yeah, just have what you told me.
Oh, good. Okay, so you're sort of... Oh, good, I got to you first. That's good. So I get your first impression from me first, not that report. That's a good sign for me. Very happy to hear that. That's good.
So we can do some more research on our side to see what kind of things we have.
Okay.
I can't promise anything though. I can't promise that I'm even gonna be able to help at all. But I can tell you I'll be honest, right? I'll be honest with you about what we can and what we can't do. And I'll give you some options sometimes and say, well, we can try this, we can try that. And it may influence you in different ways. But I can't promise outcomes, I can't promise what we can do.
I got you. What do you want, if you want?
Well, you have a bunch of computers with the hard drive. What's on there that you wanted to show us?
Are you seriously? We'll be here all week.
Okay, can you give it a 5-minute summary, like the overview of what you see? What
do you like
hear?
Political shit, or do you like give me a genre?
So, I mean, I work in cybercrime.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. I thought I knew it.
You read it on that article, I know. So you already knew that part. So,
I did.
Right, so I work in cybercrime. So we look for hackers. We do ransomware, BEC, pinjacking.
Oh, you do?
We do a bunch of other stuff, like computer intrusions in general. I do some stalking cases.
Do you have all the toys and tech shit, too?
I've got a lot of toys.
Oh, really? Okay.
But, yeah.
Dude, okay. Do you need, like, an apprentice?
I would. You want to come out to Houston? You can see all the toys we have. But,
holy shit!
They're not that impressive. Just a gizmo.
Well, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I can help you. I'm a self-taught hacker. I'm not very good. I did not hack Sony. Okay. I did not do that. They was accused of that, but I did not do that. The stuff on DDoS secrets, I was stupid enough to say, Emma, can you actually give me credit for my stuff? Can you put my name? I'm the only idiot that said, here, yeah, put my name on it. So, yeah. But MPS, Monty Deposky, that was not a hack. The documents were given to me by the Anatella Rossi. So it was not a hack. And she said, I want you to just make this public as possible because we need David Rossi's story out there. So I said, of course. And she knew I had connections with New York Times and Wall Street Journal, so that's what she wanted. So I helped her, and Luca was her lawyer. He's like the very, like, you know, like you walk in, it's like one light bulb over this old ancient desk, and he's smoking a cigarette, and he's speaking Italian. This is the perfect cliche of a lawyer. He also wanted all this everywhere. He wanted me to disseminate as much as I could. We had a deal. I said, if you can give me anything in Michele Faisola, anything in my father, anything you got, I'll give you whatever I have. I look for David Rossi. I don't have much in here, but if you want Deutsche files, I'll give you that. So that was our trade. And man, I told you and Tammy, he told me the craziest fucking story. It'll take a long time to tell you the story. The short version is that Monty DePosky, the Calabria Mafia, is using MPS to launder their money. And they're using it in very interesting and creative ways, like putting cash in basketballs for the Italian basketball team. Like, literally, they'll have basketballs filled with cash. And then they give the basketballs to some other team, they trade for other basketballs. And that's how they do the cash exchange. It's fucking weird. I swear to God. And we've got David Rossi, and Anatella says this happened, and Luca says this is what happened. David Rossi would pick up just a briefcase full of cash, he'd rent a car, he would drive from Siena to Lugano, and he would just start dumping cash into different accounts. And then one guy that picked up the cash account is Cardinal Scarano from the Vatican, caught on CCTV. So. And he's laundering money. He's got a history of being a dirty banker as well. So this is very interesting. But no one's gone after him the second time. Both of them.
How do you know
it? I went over and then visited. You know, when I was it's a really that's another story if you want to have story time. But you know, I was trapped in Amsterdam, like literally trapped in a fucking campsite. You know, someone broke into my rental car and stole. Like I had this computer in this black case, MacBook, and underneath the passenger seat. And it's the dead of night in Amsterdam, like 3 a.m. I'm going into town to buy some cigarettes. I leave the car for maybe 10 minutes, and I walk back on cobblestone streets, and I see glass. I say, "Oh, poor fucker, got his car broken. It's mine." No, they did not take my passport. They did not take my 30 or 40 euros, you know, sitting in that little tray between the passenger and the driver's side. They didn't take my Fender Strat in the back seat or anything else. They only took that computer, which had Deutsche Bank stuff that I had just bought in New York City the month and a half prior, and I had just organized all my Deutsche Bank shit, all the files on that computer. It was encrypted. There's no way anyone can get to it. And anyone that would pull off something like that, it's got to be a shitty private investigator. There's no, anyone that's sophisticated would have just fucking hacked it, you know, or given up on it once they know it was encrypted. There's no way in. It was air-gapped, for God's sake. There's no way. But that's the only thing that was taken. And I suspect Deutsche Bank hired a private investigator. That's what I think. In Prague, I was, I thought I was going to get die when this guy, Italian thug, pulls me out of the car and starts beating on me. And he doesn't speak a word of English. I just came to buy a SIM card at the mall in Czechoslovakia. Have you ever been to a mall in Prague? It's fucking weird. It's a weird place.
And I almost died on a train.
Oh, in Prague? Yeah. What happened?
I forgot to get off. No, I ended up in a train.
Oh, that's not good. That's not good.
No, it was bad.
Yeah, I hit the SOS button in the car. Like, you know, help, I'm being murdered. This guy's going to murder me. And I forgot. I had bought a fake gun, like a BB gun in Germany, and I don't know anything about guns, but I should have used it. Maybe he would have run away, but I forgot he was in the fucking compartment. So instead, I'm just like, I use my phone. Like, look, you're on camera. Stop kicking me. Stop this. You're going to be on camera. And the SOS hears it all. And next thing I know, the fucking SWAT teams. They got machine guns. There's six of them. And they surround us. And they tell the guy to get his fucking hands up. And I'm like, you know, that's the guy. You know, we know that's the guy. You know, they speak English. And then the dude does the strangest thing. He's surrounded by the SWAT team with M16s, whatever those big guns are. He takes off his shirt so you can see he's topless, right? Why does he take off his shirt? Because he's got military tattoos. And this is how he's going to communicate to the Czech police that I'm one of you. That's what he did. He's pointing at the tattoos. He said, look, EU military, some sort of service. And they put down their guns. It works. They're like, what is this? What is going on here? Turns out, we go to the police station and the fucking lady from Central Casting, Interpol, shows up. You know, he's like, I don't want to be here on a Sunday. He's a stupid American, you know, et cetera. Turns out he's from Avis Rental Car and he just came to repo the car. That's the fucking crazy shit that it was, man. It was a weird time. I don't know why I told you that story, but it's fine. what was the question? Sorry.
Let's go back to your hacking.
Hacking. Yes.
What kind of skills do you have? What kind of techniques do you
have? Well, I guess the only one I pulled off like really successfully was my mother. But I had a lot of time and planning, though. It was just a man in the middle, Wi-Fi hack. Really easy.
You know, a Wi-Fi plan or something?
I have pineapple, but I did not use a pineapple. I had no money, dude. I had nothing. I had to learn how to increase the output of my battery power on the MacBook to handle all the fucking thoroughfare that was coming in through the... I practiced at this hotel down there called the... in Venice Beach. But I spoofed their... what is the name of it? It's in Manhattan Beach. And it was where I learned everything for 2 weeks. Anyway, I spoofed the router. And I learned Wireshark at that time, which was like driving me crazy because all I got were the packets, but I could not figure out how to put the packets together. And it took me, maybe I'm slow, I don't know, but it took me a while to figure out how to put the fucking packets together. And once I did, I was like, shit, I have passwords now. I have some, well, not full passwords, they're still broken up, but you can just put them into a, you know, algorithm that will, you know... Yeah, you know, John the Ripper or something, or you know, anything that's actually John the Ripper won't work. It's more like a
I don't know how it's.
Sorry.
Rainbow table.
No, the table one. That's not a very easy one. The table hack. That's the injection one where you in Kali Linux you're talking about.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I took that class, but I thought you're just running it against like a dictionary.
Yeah, well, you are, but you have an algorithm that's specific to what you're looking for. Like, I knew my mom would have a specific list of names she would use, right? So I had to plug in just those, and I had to have the, you know, anything over eight fucking It's good we can talk a little bit. This is fun. Anything over 8 letters is going to take over a day and a half unless you have a 20 gig GEX, whatever, NVIDIA card. Yeah. Now, that's with Elcomsoft, which is the fastest password cracker I've seen so far right now on the market. I'm sure you guys probably have access to something cooler than that, but it takes a long time. But so a lot of it, you just have to use your intuition or make a phone call. And, that's the best way to do it. They call it social engineering. Yeah. So that's the most fun.
How do you learn? Do you take classes?
YouTube. I was, you don't understand. My dad just killed himself. My mom cut me out of the family. I was sequestered to a rehab. It was a very nice rehab, but I was not free. I was like, for 4 months, I had to stay there.
Yeah, you're a whole lot smarter than me because I've taken the classes that I don't understand everything.
Well, but I had it was like if you have no money and you have to feed yourself and someone throws you in a foreign country, you're gonna learn.
Sure.
You know, that's what it was for me. It's like I had to know why my dad killed himself. I had to figure it out. I had to get into his email. So I just sat down and I fucking focused. And I was depressed, man. I was planning on killing myself. Like, you know what? Maybe my mom will learn something if I die the same year. You know, maybe my sisters will never have to suffer. I was being a martyr. You know, I was being a little shit, too. I was being an asshole. And the doctor said, you know what, Val? We're going to try and give you Adderall. Let's see what this does. Like, what the fuck is Adderall? Fuck you. You know, and I take it. I'm playing. 3 hours. I'm like, all right. Let's learn hacking. You know, finance is next. And you know what? It fucking saved my life, that thing. It really did, that drug. You know, people say don't do drugs, but sometimes drugs really work. Mm-hmm. It shows you. Yeah, if you're depressed, you don't see any hope. Sometimes a drug will just give you a glimpse, remind you that there is another way of viewing the world. You know, that's it. But anyway, yeah, fueled with Adderall, it was very helpful. Yeah, I found focus. I was a dumb musician. I thought there was no way I was going to learn how a derivative works. Right, I had no fucking. I was very proud of myself, and I thought my father would have been proud too. And that's kind of another thing, kind of, you know, a little fuel, fuel to the fire.
Sure. So, what other things really need to happen? Like, do you know anything about ransomware?
I do. Yeah.
What about?
I stay away from it.
It sounds. Not a bad idea.
I mean, it sounds like it's really. It's not. I mean, I've never had anything ransomware, but it doesn't seem like a difficult thing to break. I mean, it's got to be localized on the computer, and you can isolate it. It's not, if you take the computer offline, it's not like a self-destruct button where all of a sudden you're, you know, your computer's gone dead. You can isolate the fucking hack. Just like anything, you know, any virus. I don't know much about hackers, but if someone's putting a foreign code onto your computer, depending where it is, and again, remember, there's different types. And with Intel, the new shit we learned about Intel with the hack on the chips, there's a whole new, way to get at data. I can't remember the names of them because my brain's not 100% today. But the ones, the Intel chips, the flaws that were found out about a year and a half ago, you remember, you know what I'm talking about?
The vulnerability.
What's it called?
Vulnerability?
Yeah, but what were the names? Like Ghost One? Or?
No,
I don't. Okay. So Intel fucked up. And whenever, from the very beginning when they started making chips, there was a cache error, where you could get all the credentials back from the actual chip. And every single computer in the world is vulnerable to this. Every single computer. And that's fucking amazing, right? So that gives you completely new access. And 3 different companies found this out at the same time. It's like the 100th monkey theory. Do you know this thing? The 100th monkey? It's great. Yeah, it's just the ideas sort of happen. But anyway, yeah, that's a whole new way of doing it. I know how to do... my best thing is social engineering. And then, you know, I'm not really a coder. I don't know how to do it, but I can take other people's programs and use them very well. You know, Elcomsoft kind of pisses me off a little bit. These guys are they overdo it, but I mean, I have Magnet, I have Elcomsoft, I have the orange one. I can't remember Joyce. I can't remember what it's called. Belkasoft is another one. Another shitty one. Oh, you know what? I'll show you. I should really got. No, the magnet is the best right now. See, and I'm thinking, like, why go through, why be, do all this extra work you don't need to do if you can just get the fucking, someone's already built the program, whatever, you invent the wheel, right? So if, for example, if AlchemSoft, oh shit, let me see the options. If AlchemSoft is already created a way to get a tarball off of your iPhone 11, why do I have to create a program that do the same thing? They've got people that spend a lot of time and money doing it. So I'll just use their shit and improvise with other people's shit. Like, the pineapple is not that great, you know? It's not that interesting. You can, and also it's a little, it's not user-friendly, you know? It's like, you have to really sit down and study the fucking stupid pineapple and learn how to do it. So I build a faster way to do it for my girlfriend, because she wanted to know how to do it, but she had no patience to sit down and learn how to do the AP or the evil twin thing, you know. So I just showed her I created a shortcut for her, which was sort of.
You know, like batch everything together, and then how did you make it easier for
Bernie? I automated it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's easier if you do that, because she just does one thing, everything falls in place. Instead of making her, it makes her think like she's accomplished something. You know, it's not that hard. You just automate and say, you know. So let me show you. For example, Eventree was the other one.
Turn Wi-Fi off, Bluetooth off.
Yeah.
It's just for.
Of course.
Your security and ours.
Oh, really? You guys got people. Interesting. I didn't even think. Sorry, I got all excited that I forgot that you guys work with the FBI. Shit. Okay. Yeah, Wi-Fi's off. Bluetooth is off. So let's pull up phone breaker, Xcode. I can do. I don't know. Can you be more specific? Is there something you're looking for?
I'm trying to assess your level of skill and needing your help to do something.
Okay.
We needed you to look at, vulnerable website or something like that. Is that something you can do? If we had a phone, could you break into it?
The phone I can do a lot better than I could with the vulnerable website. I could do the website, but it would take me a little extra time because I have not studied that one as much. I mean, I used to do it before. When it was easy, when everything was on the server, and you could just do it, put the backspace. Remember, you could just do that stupid thing? You know, maybe I could do that. But the phone is more fun for me. That's easy. That's not easy, but it's more of a challenge. Because I did my dad's phone, I did my girlfriend's phone, and then people would find phones on the street for me and just sell it to me just so I could try and practice. It is fun. That one I like. And the remote stuff is, am I going to get in trouble for telling you guys any of this shit?
If you tell me, you murdered someone, then probably something
weird. I never murdered anybody, okay? No murder, okay? New York Times asked me to hack Epstein. Okay, so David wanted me to hack Epstein, so I did it. And everyone's started the process of doing it, and I gave him the list of passwords, and I gave him the list, and I have this on email to prove to you. Okay, the passwords, and I gave him the list of logins. That's it, all the credentials, and I gave him Ghislaine's credentials as well. I did not break in. I did try. Okay, I made an attempt, but it was a double authentication. Someone already got to it. I don't know whose number it is, but I have the phone number if you want to trace it. It would be helpful for you guys. I found out a lot for Kevin Hall. Actually, I did this. He wanted to know where some of his money went. So, Kevin Hall is a journalist from the Hub. His partner, what's her name? She wrote the Epstein story. I forgot her name. She's really good. She's really good, yeah. He didn't want to know where some of his money was, so I helped him by just looking at his old email addresses from 1999. Old banks that he used and old, just old accounts. And lawyers that he used as well, because a lot of the lawyers are hiding some money too. Stuff like that, yeah. I don't give away your secrets, but I'll give you away a secret, and it'll make it seem so mundane and obvious to you, you'll think, why didn't I think of that? It's the easiest possible way to start, and mostly if people ask you to find it, passwords, this is the easiest thing to do. You just get a database of, like, you know, the billion or so already hacked files. Mm-hmm. You find the old password that somebody used, and you just sort of mm-hmm. engineer from there. It's not that hard.
Yeah.
You know, people, a lot of people don't change their passwords. And when they do, they change them. They make a variation.
Casual, yeah.
Right.
I guess you usually work alone. You work with other people?
No.